This is Quiet Fire, a program about the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln and its relevance to us today. Welcome. This is Duncan Newcomer. Here's a Lincoln quote for you. The mystic chords of memory, stretching to every human heart, will yet swell the chorus of the Union, when again touched, as surely they will be, by the better angels of our nature. These his last words to the nation before the war began, the Civil War, when the fabric of the nation was torn apart and torched like a flag in the hands of angry protesters. The better angels of our nature, that's been called God's second thoughts about us. As if after the breath of creation, God thought better of our inspired clay and put in some extra angelness. What could Lincoln have been thinking with his almost original redefinition of human nature? Do we have angels to our nature? And do we have some better angels as well as some worser ones? He could have been thinking about his mother. She had died when he was 9. He had made a vow to her then that he would never drink alcohol, and in his adult life he shared with a friend that the bond in that vow was as strong at that point as it was when he made it. He called her his precious angel. He called her my sweet angel mother. He did that because that was how he felt about her, and since he dearly loved also his stepmother, he wanted a name and a word to honor both of them separately. So Nancy Hanks was always his sweet angel mother. He could have been thinking how he had read the word angel in his Dilworth reader as a boy, and how Dilworth had written that human nature was defined by our proximity to angels. When we were first made, Dilworth claims in his elementary school reader, humans were created just a little inferior to the angels above. Angels is capitalized in his book. And after the sinful fall of humanity, we were now made only a little bit above the angels below, like Lucifer in hell. One historian has concluded the phrase about our comparative status with angels stayed strongly enough in Lincoln's consciousness to emerge eventually as an expression of the better angels of our nature. And angels were commonly thought to be a part of the religious landscape above and below. Lincoln asked his Secretary of State to review his first inaugural address, and he put in the idea at the end of the speech that the nation had a guardian angel who would breathe harmony into the warring people. Lincoln made the poetic image stronger, saying the angels were not guardians, but actually were in the memory of the people. Lincoln believed in what he called the public mind, also capitalized. But poetry aside, the quote is from his first inaugural address, which was one of the longest speeches ever, in a massive legal argument trying to stop the country from dividing, and it contained a full-throated statesman's-like appeal for peace and unity, and it did not work. It did not stop the war. South Carolina was already on its way out. The country was at that dangerous place when words seemed to matter less and less, even the best words. So, however, do we have better angels in our nature or among us? It sounds like a spiritual idea, angels. There is a national movement going on these days simply called Better Angels. It was started by a family therapy professor in Minnesota to help our national house from dividing again, to help find ways to talk and to be one. Another such group is called the Idea of America Network. When Lincoln died, some scholars think that what was said at that tragic moment was not "now he belongs to the ages," but "now he belongs to the angels." So we have a horizontal view of his legacy and a vertical one of his continual presence, which could light us down in honor, even to the latest generation. This is Duncan Newcomer, and this has been Quiet Fire, the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln.